Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. It's hour number two on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you. A lot of good stuff coming. We'll preview today's Major League Baseball slate. We're going head-to-head at the quarterback position as we have for the past couple of Mondays here. But we'll stick with the quarterback position to start hour number two and take a look at Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Tension, to me, is going to start to grow in Baltimore if a resolution is not met soon enough. Lamar Jackson has laid the gauntlet down, the hammer down. Listen, we are getting this deal done, or the season will begin and we are not talking contract anymore. The thing about this contract negotiation is it's been very bizarre, to be honest with you, for me. It doesn't seem like the Ravens are operating with urgency. It doesn't seem like Lamar is operating with urgency. And it seems like each of the two sides are aware that there is a pros and cons list here. The pros should outweigh the cons. Lamar gets his money and the Ravens keep their franchise quarterback in town. But the Ravens seem to be maybe okay with not paying Lamar and figuring out what they do post Lamar Jackson. And I think Lamar maybe is open to the franchise tag, run up the tab, and maybe leave Baltimore scenario if that's where this ultimately lands. As we sit here on August 15th, what do you make of the Lamar Jackson no contract talks come this season decision?
It's kind of crazy overall how we got to this point, but let's also keep this in mind. I always love the, you know, hey, once we kick off on week one, I'm not going to negotiate for the entire 18 weeks of the season, which includes 17 games. That's always ridiculous. But also number two, is this a little bit different? Because number one, this might be the most expensive contract in the history of professional football. We'll see if he wants numbers approaching Patrick Mahomes, but we don't really look at overall like, you know, $500 million from Mahomes. It's what the guaranteed money is. So the benchmark right now is not actually the Patrick Mahomes deal. It is the Deshaun Watson deal, $250 million guaranteed no matter what happens here. Yeah, sign me up for that, but also increase it to like $275 or $300 million. Now, as I say that, Kevin, you're talking about a deal that we've never seen before. He represents himself. This isn't a one-year minimum contract that's so easy just to have two pages and just sign off and head into training camp. That's not the case here. So my question, Kevin, is when do they negotiate? He shows up at the facility at 8 a.m., watching film, getting taped, working out, hitting the weight room, getting lunch, you know, after meetings, and it's 7 o'clock at night. Does he have like a one-hour window before he's exhausted? There's a chance to make $300 million and make the right decisions on a 300-page contract? When do we actually get these? Like, who is actually negotiating for him if he's representing himself? Because you're not negotiating, Kevin, while you're at practice.
Well, what are we acting like? There's no way for them to talk, Donnie? I mean, we're that's
like
not
they radio the play in. Hey, Lamar, how about that third year down there? You get the option 22 men. All right, hold on. Say 22. We'll talk about it in the huddle.
I mean, Donnie, Tom Brady just took a vacation. I'm pretty sure if they need to hammer this thing out, they can probably find some time. I guarantee you that him not having an agent is a part of why this isn't done. And it's because, again, the Ravens were like, oh, we'll be able to finesse this. This will be no problem. He doesn't have an agent. This is going to work out really well. Donnie, I can negotiate this contract for him. Yeah, did you see what Kyler got? Extra million, no problem. Deal done. Let me know when you make the appropriate offer. Radio audience is here Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. No, but I mean, Donnie, how, like, I know that there's like legal language and different clauses in there. Maybe the Ravens try and get a homework clause in. Who knows, right? What anybody, but in terms of the financials, isn't this very simple? You pay him a touch more than what Kyler Murray was given. Am I Is that not the simplest thing of all time?
But does he, look, we don't even, we haven't, the one thing I do get upset about some of the beat writers here is these guys are usually in touch. We need some leaks out here. Like Juan Soto got that leaked out right away. Wow, he turned down that much, and rightfully so, yes or no. But we knew what the numbers were, right? We're not getting any leaks out of here of what Lamar Jackson is actually asking for or the Baltimore Ravens. Is this a situation with Debo Samuel in San Francisco where the Ravens go, hey, blank check. Write your name. Write the dollar figures. We'll see you in training camp. We don't even know what's going on behind the scenes.
And again, but that is why the temperature of this thing is so off to me. Right now, that Nationals leak came out. Why? Because they realized that they were going to trade him and they needed to try and soften the blow and be like, this guy turned down nearly $500 million. What did everybody want us to do, right? If Lamar turns down a contract that is above Kyler Murray's, well then okay. Then the conversation changes. But again, what are the Ravens offering him? Like, maybe Lamar should leak what the Ravens' offer is.
Yes.
So then we can talk about how the Baltimore Ravens have not been serious in these contract negotiations. Here is the thing. This is why, again, I find this to be very bizarre. In like specifics, some you want to, you know, bonuses, all those things, gotcha. The dollar signs here are only difficult if either the Ravens are lowballing him or Lamar Jackson is asking for things that we would be surprised by. And not like $50 million a year, but more so, I only want a two-year contract. Because again, one of the things that I'm starting to wonder, is Lamar really right now in a spot where he has his heart set on staying with the Ravens? We're going to keep talking quarterbacks, but it's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quarterback head-to-head here on Monday. Started off with Russell Wilson versus Matthew Stafford. Then we transitioned to Kyler Murray versus Lamar Jackson. MVP numbers for those quarterbacks were the exact same. We have a little bit of separation here, but these two guys, I think, are, they feel at least similar in terms of where they exist in this league, that it would be appropriate to have Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. A lot of MVP trophies between these two guys. Rodgers, the back-to-back now reigning MVP of this league, checks in at 10-1. Brady, a bounce ahead of him, though, 8-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And these are two guys that we anticipate being in the race all season long. This works quite nicely, though, because bringing Tom Brady in on the heels of his vacation allows us to see if Donnie is going to bet Brady unders, considering how bothered he was by Tom being away for this team for 10 games. So we'll start with Brady. 35.5 passing touchdowns for an over-under. 4,520.5 yards for an over-under for passing yards for the season. 8-1 on the MVP. What do you make of these Brady numbers coming into the season?
Well, I start by preface this by saying, I mean, Tom Brady has been absolutely outrageous in his first 2 years here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kevin. 4,600 yards, followed up by 5,300 yards. Both of those years, over 40 touchdown passes. So you look at his statistics right now and you say, over 35.5, sign me up. Passing yards, 4,520, sign me up. MVP, absolutely, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be a force to be reckoned with because of the talent level that is across the board. But I got to tell you here, and again, maybe it's just me where I look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and say it's an 8-1 fact that he's going to win MVP. Will he play the entire season? Does he even come back to the Buccaneers? Everybody's anticipating, hey, everything's fine, man. Look, everybody takes vacations, just Kevin, during the middle of training camp. That's a known fact. We just don't hear about it. They just keep it under wraps. No, they don't. And the fact of the matter, you can say whatever you want, Tampa Bay, when you know this wasn't, hey, by the way, early June, let me give a phone call to the GM and the front office and the coach. You know what? I got to take a cruise here. And it's going to be about 2 weeks in the training camp. Let me get my legs under me. Let this team, let the team show me I'm invested. But man, me and Giselle got this awesome, awesome cruise lined up. So what do you think about that? Yeah, Tom, do whatever you want. See you after about 2 weeks. Nobody's panicked about this. Nobody's thinking that it's just Tom Brady being normal Tom Brady. When has Tom Brady ever missed anything, Kevin? I bring it up all the time in the offseason, whether he's at Carnival down in, you know, Brazil or across the world. He shows pictures of him on the beach in like shoulder pads and helmets getting workouts in. Is that what he's going to be doing now? Is he on vacation? Did he even leave home, Kevin? Do you have anybody that knows right now where Tom Brady is at? For that reason alone, I look at those stats and I love them. And if Tom Brady right now, Kevin, was in training camp, I would love those stats even more. But do I even know if Tom Brady is all in 2022? I can't bet the guy. I can't bet the guy without knowing that.
It's incredible that a guy who retired and then unretired at the age of 45, Brady has never been anything other than all in. You know he's all in because he is Tom Brady. I understand he's never took the training camp break. He's also never half retired before. So this 10-day absence here, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Tom Brady last year threw for 5,300 yards. He also went over this prop by 1,000 yards, Donnie. How are we doing anything other than going over the number? And the thing about that is, by the way, because you might see the number and think to yourself, well, they're going to win a lot of football games. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because they won a lot of football games last year. And he threw for 5,300 yards. Because what happened is they realized that their best approach is just letting Tom Brady throw the football. Look at this Tampa Bay Bucs roster and tell me where they are most dangerous. Mm-hmm. Is it at their running back room with big Leonard Fournette? A lot of Keyshawn Vaughn fans in the rooms, perhaps. I don't think so. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, Julio Jones, they're going to air the football out. That MVP price at 8-1 is certainly interesting as well, because last year, Rodgers and the Packers were the best team in the league. And the year before that, they were the number one seed in the NFC as well. And we know that winning matters a lot in terms of the NFL MVP. NBA, maybe becoming a little less important. Major League Baseball doesn't really matter at all. But in the NFL, it does. You are going to need your guy to be out there right near the top. And this is a guy in Tom Brady that is on the team with a win total of 11.5. Only the Bills have a win total at the same price. Those are the two teams that are expected to be the one seeds in their respective divisions. It gives Brady a big-time chance. Aaron Rodgers comes in DRS. Season-long numbers check in right now. Passing touchdowns, 30.5. Passing yards, 39, 50, and a hook. For Rodgers, those numbers look light. But perhaps the single best wide receiver talent in the sport is no longer on his team, with Devontae Adams now being the member of the Las Vegas Raiders. I cannot help but think that if Devontae Adams was a Vegas Raider, you're adding at least 100 yards to that season-long prop and at least 3 touchdowns to those season-long passing numbers there. But that's what Devontae Adams can do or take away from a quarterback, even of Aaron Rodgers' stature. 10-1 for a three-peat. The only quarterback that's done that or player in NFL history, Brett Favre. How appropriate. What do you think about Rodgers and these season-long numbers?
Yeah, if we start with the MVP, I don't know if that's going to be in the cards. Now, should the Packers probably win the division just because they have Aaron Rodgers? Probably so. But usually an MVP has got to do some elite things, Kevin. And if he approaches 50 touchdown passes with this wide receiving core, you might as well just shut the NFL down and just call this guy the greatest player of all time in history, because I don't think that's going to be the case. But having said that, we're still handicappers. You're still going over the season, and maybe Aaron Rodgers deep down is saying, like, you know what? It feels like I have one hand tied behind my back because I did it to myself. I am a starting quarterback that's one of the best to ever play this game. And usually those demands are met by the free agents, by the front office about the free agents you want. But we did find it kind of interesting, Kevin, in the offseason where you said, no, hold on now. you thought you'd ride or die. Like, Devontae Adams is going to come back to Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers is there, because Aaron Rodgers wants Devontae Adams, and rightfully so. And when that breakup happened where they shipped off Devontae Adams down to the Vegas Raiders, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers has to be steaming right now. And every time we saw Aaron Rodgers, it basically felt like, yeah, you know what? This was anticipated. It's fine. No big deal. I lost my best wide receiver, and I have a bunch of nobodies now at wide receiver. You don't even have, you know, Valdez Scantling out there at this point. But I look at the numbers here. 30.5 for the touchdown pass numbers. 39.50. And I know you can't equate it to the past couple years where it seems like he's always above 4,000 yards. But there is something charming about to the Packers without those dominant wide receivers, where Aaron Rodgers is still going to throw 35 to 40 times every single game. You're going to play 17 games this year. I'm not so sure, Kevin, that the Packers are even going to be good enough where at the final game of the season, they can just sit Aaron Rodgers and have a de facto 16-game season. I think he might play all 17 all the way through. I like Aaron Rodgers all the way, passing yards and touchdowns, but I do not support his MVP efforts this year in 2022.
I can't see him winning MVP, but also I can't get involved with his passing yards over. I know it's an extreme version of it, but that Arizona Cardinals game, Donnie, where the entire wide receiver room was out, 22 of 37, a buck 84. Really bad. Now, he still threw two touchdown passes because he can, but I don't think this guy's going to average, you know, be Justin Fields all of a sudden right now that Devontae Adams is out there, but I'm not betting him for 4,000 yards with a wide receiver room that now I am supposed to believe Romeo Doubs is not going to just win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but claim his Hall of Fame spot that rookie season. Can't be. Under on the Rodgers, a lot of Tom Brady love for sure. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview time here on the early line. It all begins with a brand new series for the Philadelphia Phillies. It probably is going to be nice to get away from the outrageousness that can be that Mets staff. Three games and just two runs for the Phils. Shut out twice in that game. And actually through with one of those runs coming from the ghost runner, if you will, right? In that opening game that they won, not a lot of offense for the Phils. Schwarber out, waiting on that Bryce Harper return as well. Maybe give him a bit of a pass. But going up against Cincinnati, you've got the Phils as a road favorite here. Nearly minus 180 price of the FanDuel Sportsbook as Noah Syndergaard goes up against Minor. Total is a 9, so certainly the expectations is runs here in Cincinnati. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I do think we get runs, but I'm more likely to take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies team total than the game total itself, even though I do like it, and here's the reasons why. Noah Syndergaard hasn't been that great. An xFIP number of over 5 over the past 30 days since coming over to the Philadelphia Phillies. Used to be a strikeout pitcher, not really anymore, Kevin. 16% of the batters he struck out over about the last 80 batters that he's faced, but he does have some decent splits against lefties and righties, and also if we're just taking a look at lineups here, that Reds lineup looks like a disaster against right-handed pitching over the past month. Outside of Frey in the leadoff spot, through 34 at bats, who has a 461 weighted on base percentage. Everybody else 327 or lower. But if we flip it over to the Philadelphia Phillies, even though we're still projected to have Kyle Schwarber out of the lineup, which, you know, not the worst thing in the world against a lefty pitcher, but Minor's been a disaster, Kevin. Last 30 days for him, an xFIP approaching 7. Not very many strikeouts, way too many walks. And check out these splits here. To lefties, he's been okay. 297 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 200. But the right-handed batters, Kevin, he can't get anybody out. 417 weighted on base percentage, ISO of 318. This Phillies lineup has 7-plus batters in the lineup with a weighted on base percentage of 328 or higher over the past 30 days. The Phillies should hit today. I'm actually just a little bit worried about the Reds hitting, but I get 9 full at bats from the Phillies. The team total is the way I'm looking for them, and also keep in mind weather conditions, Kevin. 80 degrees, slight wind blowing out to right field, so good hitting conditions as well.
Phil's team total checks in at a 5 minus 118 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Their expectation is they'll be able to get after it. If you want to get involved with that first 5, minus the half run is minus 122. It does probably line up and where the Phillies will see Minor, and with no slight to him, he's going to feel like a minor league pitcher compared to what the Mets were offering over those three games there. How about that? Not bad. We're on it early here. Padres, Marlins. Oh, this is a good matchup here. Wow. Alcantara, home dog against Musgrove. Now, Musgrove's solid. All-star in his own right, no doubt about it. I got to admit, I was a little surprised, though, when I saw this number here. Totals is 6.5. Is it the... Man, I know usually you see under when you see two pitchers this quality, but it is a 6.5-year DRS. Talk to me.
This is going to be fun. The reason why we picked this game out is it's not one of those where you run to the window like, hey, look, 90 degrees, wind blowing dead out. Obviously, we're in Miami, so maybe we have that roof closed today with no heat and humidity coming in. But two really good pitchers in a pitcher's ballpark. But having said that, the side to look at today would be the Padres. And you're right. You look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, what gives here? Alcantara at home is a dog. Just sign me up. I understand that. But let's take a look here over the past 30 days of this matchup. Alcantara's got an xFIP of around 4, which isn't legendary that we figure that he's been pitching most of the season and being a dominant pitcher himself. It's not Jacob DeGrom-like. It's not Max Scherzer-like over the past 30 days. But also, his splits are still fine, Kevin. Left-handed batters against him at 321 weighted on base average, right around average. Righties at 254, which is below. But the matchup that's kind of interesting here is not specifically from Alcantara's side. It's what the Padres present. If we look over the last 30 days where the Padres started to ramp up that offense, which is why we're going to be so excited to get Tatis plugged right back into the middle of this thing. Take a look at, I just talked about the Philadelphia Phillies with 7-plus batters against left-handed pitching. That made some sense. How about this? 8-plus batters in the Padres lineup make sense against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. I'm just going to read some of the weighted on-base percentages for us here. Profar, 351. Soto, 432. Machado, 400. Bell, 357. Drury, 367. Cronenworth, 355. Kim, 350. Grisham, 371. And Nola, the catcher in the nine hole, only at a 305. So the first 8 batters above average by a wide margin against right-handed pitching. Now I get it. This isn't your average, everyday right-handed pitcher. This is the leader in the clubhouse of the FanDuel Sportsbook to be your National League Cy Young Award winner. But I got to tell you, it does make sense to me with the Marlins who struggle so much at the plate. Team total for the Padres, okay, but I actually just like the money line on the Padres tonight here to take care of business against Alcantara and the Fish.
And the thing with that, it goes to show, we've talked about why is Sandy Alcantara not in the MVP race at all. Nobody will bring him up whatsoever despite leading the National League in WAR. It's because when you're a pitcher, right, you can only control what you can control here at the end of the day. For him to be a home dog, a guy that is right now minus 255 to win the NL Cy Young, it just speaks volumes, I think, to how difficult it can be to impact baseball being just one singular player. One thing I wouldn't mind tonight, though, FanDuel Sportsbook, feel free to throw a little boost in this game. Each guy for 5-plus strikeouts in its own right, plus 100. Go up to 2-1. We can certainly start to get involved here a little bit. I don't think that would be a bad look at all. Continuing to move through this board, Yanks, Rays. Look, the Yankees need to snap out of it, right? There's no other way to put it here, DRS. I'm not seeing the lines right now, though, for this game, which I imagine is going to always be the Rays' fault because Gerrit Cole, it looks like, will have the ball tonight for the Yankees. So what is your approach here with the Yanks back in the Bronx?
Anytime you see Yarbrough on the mound, that means they're probably going to try to place a opener in the lineup before they hand it over to Yarbrough. So that's probably why we don't have the official, you know, numbers here listed. Gerrit Cole, we know, is going to be on the mound for the Yankees. We just don't know who's probably going to open for Yarbrough. But let's just say whoever the opener is, they pitch one inning, and in comes the lefty Yarbrough. This should be right up where the Yankees say it's time to get right, because Yarbrough, a lefty, over the past 30 days, Kevin, against lefty batters, dominant. 22 batters that he's faced, a 110 weighted on base percentage, 0 ISO. But right-handed batters, a little bit of trouble, 354 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of a 206. Why is that important? We know that the Yankees can load up on right-handed bats. Now, the interesting one's going to play into it. DJ LeMahieu may be not in the lineup today. He's had a 347 weighted on base percentage over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching. That would help. But obviously, take a look at this. Only four, these, the next two guys here. So I know it's not Dinger Tuesday at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but it might as well be Dinger Monday here in the Bronx. Because if you take a look at Aaron Judge here, how about this? A 909 ISO power number through 14 at-bats. I don't know if that equates to like a home run every, what, he hit 13 home runs out of 14 at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's what it feels like in an 837 weighted on base percentage. How about Rizzo? 538 ISO power number with a weighted on base percentage of 465. They should do damage. But if you're looking, I don't want to say a get-right game for the Yankees, but just getting back in the right direction for the Yankees makes some sense to me today. Lines aren't out yet, and that's just because we're waiting on those starters. But maybe a team total might line up for the Yankees where they break out of their doldrums.
Not bad. I'm really interested where this price is. Do you have any bit of a – I know Yankees discount with Gerrit Cole at home on the mound is very unlikely there, but – with the way they've been playing. And then can you try and, you know, bring in a little same-game parlay approach, take the Gerrit Cole number down. We don't know what the strikeout prop's going to be. Say right now, 6.5, you're going to be in the mix, no doubt about it. Probably going to be a 7.5, though. Can you get 7-plus Ks from Gerrit Cole with a Yanks win? Start to try and maneuver that way. It's all going, of course, to be price-dependent. The Mets finish up with the Phillies, and they go right back to the Atlanta Braves. And they're a dog here. Minus 150 right now on Strider and the Atlanta Braves. Total is an 8. I can't say it's all that surprising. The Braves are solid and Strider's been excellent. But I am sure that they will see there will be some people that see a plus price on the New York Mets and that will have their interest.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You're looking at, you know, as like Jim Mora said in the back, the playoffs, that's what it feels like in this game between the Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Wendy, one of those early playoff previews that you get some fun with, which means very good pitching, very good bullpens, and maybe some timely hitting. Because if we're looking at just the power on the mound, Strider's probably the better overall pitcher. But Carrasco has certainly been no shame. If we take a look since June 1st here, Kevin, trying to line both of these guys up, Strider number 2 on the card with an XFIP minus number of a 58, which is incredible. But 8th overall on the card is Carlos Carrasco at 84. Now, that's a big discrepancy between those two. But keep in mind, anything below 100, you're really doing your job in Major League Baseball. So it just goes to show you how Strider's really getting above that, which means good weighted on base percentages, high strikeouts here. So if you're trying to find a side, do you really want to go against the New York Mets at this point and say to yourself, well, if it's a plus 100 or a plus 105, maybe a layoff, but you're looking at a plus 128, close to plus 130 total here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for this money line. It's not a bad option to take the Mets, but I do still look at the 8 across the board. These are two really good lineups, I understand it, and Strider does have every once in a while those blow-up games, and Carrasco should be fine in this, but 8 takes 8-9 to beat you here, Kevin. I'm more likely to look at the under than a side here.
What is interesting, and I know that we don't do trends in Major League Baseball as much as the other sports, right? But I thought this was a little interesting here. The Mets have gone over in 67% of their games booked as an underdog. Now, what does that necessarily mean? Well, it probably means the superstar pitchers aren't on the mound, right? You would think if they are actually booked as a dog. Does it carry weight into this game individually? It depends who you are. But I did think that was a little interesting there, a rare baseball trend spot. Also, just to keep an eye on with this series, as the Mets obviously right now are getting a lot of praise, and rightfully so, the Atlanta Braves have again found themselves in the midst of a 6-game win streak. Because the one thing the Braves know how to do is beat up on bad baseball teams, taking 3 games off of the Boston Red Sox or 2 games off of Boston and 4 off of Miami. 4 games at home against the Mets, 5.5 back. Huge series in the NL East. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's not good. I can't hear a thing. All right. Make the most of it. We'll figure it out. Let's get this over to Donnie here to handle the situation. How about that, man? White Sox Astros. We're making it happen here. Urquidy is a road favorite. Goes to show how far the Chicago White Sox have fallen here. Cueto's got the ball. He's about a plus 106 right now. Total's a 9, plus 100 towards the over. Where's the value here, DRS, between the White Sox and the Astros?
Yeah, value on this one might actually be towards the under if we try to play this one out. Because if we're looking from a pitching matchup and a pitcher's perspective, if we take a look at the White Sox, where do we always like the White Sox, Kevin? It's typically when they match up against a left-handed pitcher. For some reason, they rake lefties, but don't hit righties all that well. Urquidy, though, over the past 30 days, he has an xFIP approaching 4.75, which isn't all that great. But if you take a look at the splits here, usually we have a role reversal. Urquidy, a right-handed pitcher here, if we take a look through 67 batters over the past month, that's a 205 weighted on base percentage, which is very good. ISO power number 079, incredible here. But right-handed batters, check this out, a 326 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 271, not really handling his business, as we like to say. But the fact of the matter goes, when you look at this White Sox lineup here, Kevin, going up against right-handed pitchers, they don't hit all that well. Eloy Jimenez, over the past 30 days, wonderful weighted on base percentage of a 447. Abreu, 342, serviceable. Vaughn, a 405, that's nice. Harrison, a 352, that's great. But five batters below that Mendoza line, as we like to say, against righties. Now, if we flip it over to take a look at Johnny Cueto, his xFIP is pretty high also. How about this? A 4.9 over the past 30 days, and his strikeout rate, abysmal. 8.8%, which means the ball is in play. But how about this? Cueto, who's a right-handed pitcher going up against right-handed batters over the last month, a 268 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 075. I'm leaning under here in this game, K-Dub.
How about that? I'll tell you what, I'm looking at both of these starting pitchers right now in the strikeout department here. I will say yesterday, a very ugly 0-3 day on the K. So hoping to bounce back would lean on Cueto and Urquidy. Not my favorite guys to do it, but you got to trust what's in front of you. We'll see if that's how it lines up here. Dodgers, Brewers, this is big to me. This is big. Look, the Milwaukee Brewers dropped that series ultimately to the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're going to need to try and find a little groove here against the Dodgers. Obviously, much easier said than done. How do you think the Brewers might fare in game one of this series?
I don't know how well you fare up against the Dodgers at that point, right? You're actually kind of amazed that not only they got beat yesterday, but they got shut out. I believe in those 12 games, they won every single game by multiple runs, Kevin. So it wasn't as if you were squeezing away 2-1, 3-2 type victories. They were rolling everybody. And quite frankly, maybe getting back to rolling once again. Look at the lineup here that you're going to have every day. It's the same joke with the Dodgers. Doesn't matter. I don't have to come on here and say, all right, it's going to be Betts, Turner, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Lux, Gallo, Taylor, Bellinger. Everybody in that lineup, including Joey Gallo, actually has a 351 ISO power number in the last 30 days against right-handed pitchers, which means he's actually starting to make contact again, which is incredible. But you go up against Peralta. He's had, it looks like, I mean, not huge statistics here. Talking about volume, right? 34 batters he's faced over last month. He's been great against lefties, which Freeman, Muncy, Lux, Gallo, and Bellinger are. Struggled a little bit against righties, but it doesn't come down to that. It's almost like you throw stats out the window when you look at the Dodgers and you say two things to yourself. Run line Dodgers, team total over Dodgers. It seems like that's the prevailing point. Now, maybe a good bounce back spot here for the Brewers because the Dodgers did get shut out yesterday and showed they are human. But if you're looking to make headway in that National League Central where you already lost some ground, it's not great going up against the Dodgers. How can you go against the Dodgers? Same thing for every time. I'm not betting against the Dodgers here, Kevin. It's that simple.
Which, again, feels like certainly as things have started to increase here, the right decision. I think they've lost like six games since June. I mean, they're probably a little more than that, but still, they're going wild. All right, that's the reality on this team, maybe since July. But nevertheless, this is a baseball team that continues to put wins up on a regular basis. And that, again, is impactful here to that NL Central price. God, how about the Cardinals went up to a minus 240 on the FanDuel Sportsbook there? If you look at the gap right now between these two teams here, it is just a game and a half, one game in the loss column. But I would have to imagine that this is what happens when one team has three games against Colorado, then three against Arizona, and then five against the Chicago Cubs on their docket. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Brewers, again, are about to play four consecutive games against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You're right. It was like we just talked about the Yankees and the Astros. You say, boy, they're still really close here, but it just doesn't feel that close. So you do look at the Cardinals at that minus 240 price. It's almost role reversal time, Kevin. 3-4 weeks ago, we were doing the same thing here with the Milwaukee Brewers going, well, how are they priced at close to 3-1 at this point, having like a two-game lead? Well, they're trying to extrapolate the remainder of the schedule and also saying, hey, the Milwaukee Brewers are good as long as they stay intact. Well, they're not intact anymore, giving away pieces at the trade deadline. And we've talked about it before as well. The St. Louis Cardinals, to me, top to bottom, a better overall baseball team than the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's showing there in that minus 240 price.
Yeah, we'll continue to track those numbers, yeah. No doubt about it. How about Angels Mariners here? Shohei has the ball against Luis Castillo. Am I wrong here? I was surprised to see this number. It's slight, but it's minus 112 right now on Shohei and the Los Angeles Angels against Luis Castillo. I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, price a road team against Ohtani at minus 200, but with the way Luis Castillo has looked for the Seattle Mariners and how bad the Los Angeles Angels are, I would have been expecting a favored number on the Mariners. What are you expecting here, though?
I'm not expecting very many runs here overall at this point, right? Because you're taking a look at still, Seattle plays in a great pitcher's ballpark, but by no means are no slouches, I'd say. The Angels do have a great pitcher's ballpark there as well. But Castillo versus Ohtani on the mound, I don't see these lineups doing all that much, because even if you just take a look at Castillo going up against that horrendous Angels lineup, there's only one batter here with a 335 or above, and that's Fletcher out of the leadoff hole going up against Castillo, which is ridiculously bad. Like, Fletcher is your best hitter on this baseball team. Now, if you take a look at Ohtani going up, there are some decent numbers. Rodriguez, France, and Haniger right off the top, 1-2-3. But after that, it's a pretty manageable lineup to get through. You're on your home mound here. I do see the need to put Ohtani as a slight favorite here, because I guess if Ohtani is like a plus 120 price at home against the Seattle Mariners, people would just load up and, you know, try to break the bank at that point. But more than likely for me, first five innings under 3.5. Screams 2-1 or less here over the first five innings for me, Kevin.
Yeah, understandable, right? I mean, the last time Castillo was out there was against Gerrit Cole, and the game had no runs through 12 and a half innings, something along, certainly through nine, nine. Let me add this quickly. Ohtani, is the MVP thing absolutely done? Like, is it really over now at this rate here? Because I wasn't expecting this. I thought it was going to be an all-year kind of thing, right? Judge with his home runs, Ohtani every 5 days would hit a double while going out there and pitching, you know, six innings of one-run ball while striking out double-digit batters here. Is it, like, do you think tomorrow we're on the show talking about a changed number on Ohtani in the MVP market?
I don't think so. We saw it before, right, Kevin? Did he have the home run, good pitcher performance, home run game, and like losing ground? I just think we're fed up with it. Sometimes when you're fed up and the lines just keep on moving, because we did think it was going to be an all summer long thing, because we knew the Angels were eventually going to be bad, but Ohtani would sort of hang in the race. And it's not as if Aaron Judge, you know, is, or the Yankees, I should say, are lighting the world on the fire. They're not, but it just seems like every day it's slowly increasing, saying, well, how much could Shohei Ohtani actually do? 3 or 4 more runs on the mound, maybe 10 home runs from now to the end of the season. That's not MVP stuff at this point.
That is the funny part of this as well. Is it was like, Judge is going to need the Yankees to win like 110 games. The Yankees are 8 back of the Dodgers and now have the 4th best record in baseball, which relative I understand, but for where the Yankees were, that's a bit disappointing here. Just kind of goes to show how quickly things have changed. Also, again, we talked about the Musgrove Alcantara game in terms of strikeout props. I mean, let's just like take everybody down here a little bit and let's find a nice number, 5+ across the market, maybe Alcantara, Musgrove, Ohtani, and Castillo, big time pay. Let's go 5s across the board, payout 5-1, maybe something along those lines, and hey, let's get everybody in the mix on a nice strikeout prop boost. Diamondbacks, Giants. Giants just pulled off a little sweep there. The Pittsburgh Pirates got themselves back to 500. We know the Giants are not a team that's going to look to go quietly here. Total right now is an 8. Giants are a touch under minus 200, but around minus 185 here. Cobb against Bumgarner. How do you match these two teams up?
Yeah, these numbers are just coming up here because when I was breaking down the game early this morning, we weren't sure the pitchers would be exactly, but it looks like they've been confirmed. And Bumgarner's the guy that you want to fade in the spot. But I don't have any first five innings numbers here just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook because it would be a run line for me on the San Francisco Giants. Giants, I don't want to say turning the corner because I still don't think they make the playoffs at this point. But going up against Bumgarner, first five innings, I think they could do some damage by laying on a bunch of lefty and righty, decent splits between lefties and righties going against Mad Bum. But really, the fade is going to be, how about this one here? Alex Cobb is a right-handed pitcher. Now, I've just run away to the window multiple times this season with the Arizona Diamondbacks going, right-handed pitcher, I don't care who it is. Let me line up all those left-handed bats. And yesterday, I did it again. Team total, I believe, 4.5, easily cruising over that. Now, you see today, I'm actually going to go against it here because the first five innings where you would have a right-handed pitcher on the mound going against all those lefties, typically I go Arizona Diamondbacks. It's the first five innings run line, whatever that price is going to come up for Cobb. He's been wonderful over the past 30 days, a 2.90 xFIP number, striking out, Kevin, 30% of the batters that he's faced. And those lefties, which have a ton of them coming up for the Arizona Diamondbacks, how about this? A 243 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 103. He's been even more dominant against right-handed bats. But again, the handicap is not against right-handed bats. It's really against the left-handed bats because of how many you're going to see here from the Arizona Diamondbacks. First five innings run line for me on the Giants. I think Cobb holds those bats down, and they'll get a few runs off Mad Bum.
Cobb and Bumgarner, I think in each of those guys' last two outings, I was on their strikeout props, and they worked out. So I'll be interested to see where they post their numbers tonight. As always, that can be, you know, a number-dependent situation. We have enough time to sneak in one more game, Donnie, which would be Blue Jays and Orioles. Kikuchi has the ball at home against Bradish. While this series, as a lot of these, you know, AL East matchups have postseason implications, it's hard not to see Kikuchi Bradish and think that 9.5, who cares? You got to get over this number and start looking at a total here between Toronto and Baltimore.
You would think you would be correct, right? But quickly here, take a look at the last 30 days. Bradish against right-handed batters, which is where that power comes from on Toronto. Mm-hmm. How about this? A 250 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 108. But if we flip it over, we know Kikuchi does struggle, specifically against right-handed batters. He's going to see a lot of those in the lineup today, Kevin. But only three batters in that Baltimore lineup anticipated to be there have hit left-handed pitching well over the past 30 days. To me, it actually lines up as an under today. How about that?
That's disgusting.
Demoralizing.
You hate to hear that.
Yeah.
That's not what you're looking for at all. I figured we'd sneak out of here with an over, give the people a little bit of juice, and unfortunately, just none to be found. Yeah. The baseball slate, by the way, starts at 3 o'clock with Savali against Hutchinson there. The Guardians have been playing some pretty good baseball. We'll see if that continues. We'll see you at 1 p.m. Eastern time on the radio side of it all on Moneyline. But before you go anywhere, make sure you listen up. Don, you'll close it out here on a Monday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early line on a Monday right here on SiriusXM Channel 159, the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside here. Kevin Walsh, as always, powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens in the morning after, which I will be a part of for a few segments in the opening hour. Now, we talked a lot today about the NFL. It's great to see it back in full swing with the completion of week one of the preseason as we head to weeks two. No longer a four-game schedule, so you're going to get a lot more players playing a lot more minutes in the upcoming weeks here. Now, also, playing a lot more minutes, playing a lot more weeks, and maybe a lot more games, we'll see if that's Deshaun Watson. So you guys, listen up. If you were living under a rock, you didn't know Deshaun Watson actually played football on Friday night. Now, he did get chanted onto the field by the Jacksonville Jaguar faithful. Some of those things we can't really say on a radio station at this point. So You get my drift here. But also, some interesting things before the game took place. We might have thought that the Sean Watson suspension would have come down so that he wasn't going to be able to take the field, which means the NFL would have suspended him indefinitely for at least 1 year or longer, and he would not have played. But he was on the plane down to Jacksonville and actually gave an interview here before the game that basically said he apologized, didn't feel like he should have put these women in this position, and whatever happens, he, you know, certainly doesn't hope it happens in the future again. Let's move on from this. Not so fast here, Deshaun Watson, because the last two times you were interviewed, they asked you repeatedly if you had any regrets, and you said, no, you didn't. So it seems like we're only regretful now because the simple fact is the NFL now has the hammer to swing down and tell you you get 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, one full year or even more at this point. And also, the NFL, what are we actually waiting for? What is this expedited process here that was supposed to take place a week and a half ago, and we're still waiting? Are we going to wait till the regular season? Or maybe an agreement could be in place where Deshaun Watson says, I'll pay a fine and take X amount of games. Get on with it, NFL, because we want to see what is actually going to take place before game one of the regular season. That'll do it today for the early line. As you know, we'll be back tomorrow, but make sure you stay tuned up next for the Morning After with Ben Stevens.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.